Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to our next call on the Sixth Sense, where we work with all those extra emotions, transforming guilt, apathy, anxiety, overwhelm, all the other sort of extra ones that don't fit neatly into a box because they're a combination of multiple things. Yeah. Okay. So as we settle in for today's session, thank you again for the spaciousness of having last week off. It allowed me to do some travel. I think I mentioned that earlier that I was heading to Calgary for a couple of different events and offerings that were pretty transformative. So deeply, deeply nourished on the other side of all of that. And as we get going for not just today, but more so speaking to later on after this year ends at the end of the month. As you've already begun to maybe see in the emails, we're going to do another round of transform emotions into energy. And then after that, we'll be diving into our next year of Buddhas and Butterflies. And you've all gotten the survey. I know the link to it is sometimes dicey because SurveyMonkey uses tracking software that sometimes your computer's security software might not overly enjoy. So you might have to copy and paste it into a browser if it doesn't open up automatically for you. And there's a few options there for you to choose from, including the 12 houses, the 8 extra meridians that go into things like the Dai Mo, the governing, the conception vessel meridians, and the Yin Chao Mo, Yin Wei Mo, Yang Chao Mo, Yang Wei Mo, etc. So working within those meridians, and I know there's a lot of people that have been very keen on those for a while now, so we'll see if that one ends up getting the most votes. It's so far in the lead. And the other two options are not far behind, the 12 houses, and then the other one was the trauma responses. That one is, I think, in number two. So we would be working with the trauma pieces, as I see them, or as I'm sliding them into slowly anyways, it's a bit cerebral, into the five element category system to work with the different faces of fear in its forms. And that would be drawing on a whole wealth of my toolkits for sure over the last 2 years that I've opened up quite a lot. So know that those are the options that you can choose from and that the survey closes in 2 days. So you've got a couple more days to get your votes in. And at the end of the week, we'll decide which one is the next route that we take with Buddhas and Butterflies. So feel free to get your vote in if you haven't already. And it's literally just like one button and then complete and send and you're done. So it's nothing too long or complicated. Okay, everybody. On that note, I'm officially ready to start for today. I'm laughing at the chat feature. Someone said, like, the one that I've been voting for years didn't win, or the one that I voted for years is finally in the lead. And that came out all wrong. But anyways, there is a bit of an irony there around what she had been voting for and wanting. So. And it's finally in the lead this time, but she didn't vote for her this round. Oh, life is so funny that way, isn't it? All right, everybody, I digress. Let's officially settle in. And as we do so, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. I'm going to close my door while you settle in with that breath. And as you settle in with that breath, making any micro adjustments to your body, getting any wiggle woggle, shake shimmies. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, or at the very least neutral, taking a moment to savor it. And receive it as the nourishment that it very well may be. And as you drink that in, the opportunity is to notice how that feels inside of you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, or at the very least neutral, taking time to savor that too. And thank you for being here. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you to all that have come before you to allow this opportunity for us to be here with each other in these ways. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and the deepest, richest of bows and thank yous to those that have caretaken this land, that have stewarded its nourishment, that has nourished us all to be here in these ways together. Thank you for your existence. And thank you for being alive and coming to life even more, breath by breath. As we settle in for this session today, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. If you're called to scan your body one more time, just to notice what's happening for you there, I wonder if there's any part of it that feels like there's something going on that you might feel drawn to mention in the chat feature. And as we take a moment to notice those things, remembering that there's that other part that feels pleasant as well. And we can equally attend to both if we want. And it might be curious just to even look at what happens when you hold attention on that thing that feels good or pleasant or even neutral. And that thing that might be sort of distracting or tugging your attention elsewhere. Roxy is dealing with some temptation out the window, so I might move her down. If she barks, I will do so. So just be prepared. If you hear a dog bark, you know why. No. And as you hold those two things potentially in your awareness at the same time, it might be interesting to go back and forth between the two of them, moving slowly, or to just simply notice both simultaneously. See what calls to you if you're wanting to explore that. And at any point in time, if things get too much, and that includes when we're working later on, you're welcome to always come back to that pleasant or that place where things feel settled and neutral or easier in some way. And in doing so, sometimes people think that that means that we're not pushing the boundary or the edge, or that we're capitulating or defaulting or failing in some way, shape, or form. However, in returning to what we know works well for us, we actually teach our nervous system how to readily become resilient, how to change between stressful states and states of ease, which actually invites in more ease at times when we need it, as we cultivate our awareness of what's working well for us. It becomes a rich resource so that we can actually be more prepared to tackle the things that are even more challenging to us later on. And those things become easier and easier. In a way, this is a lot like going to the gym. However, it's just not physically lifting a barbell. And as we start to really get into the meat of the session now, we're starting off with releasing sadness in the form of depression from the diaphragm. And it's the type of sadness or depression that makes you feel really underwater, out of touch, in a way disassociated. And I see it as splitting the lower body and the upper body. And in the upper body, there's all the stories made up about why this is happening, and it feels like there's the guilt and the overwhelm and the shame that's happening in response to this division. And the bottom half, it's simultaneously below the place where that sadness depression piece is being stored around that diaphragm, is also hanging on to sadness depression. As well as, there's another layer to this too. There's this layer of almost jealousy that other people likely have it easier than you. It's like, well, how come I have to walk in these shoes type of energy? And as we work with that sort of split and what's above and what's below, we're going to start off by running circulation of lymph through that diaphragm, that line where that division, that split is. And as we run lymphatic circulation through here, just setting the stage for there to be basically an outlet, a place where the things that aren't serving get to release into. We're bringing in also 12th house energy to support that even further, the house of releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing. And as that begins to connect in along with that lymphatic circulation, I see the heart begin to just pulse rhythmically in the ways that it does, in a way that also provides calmness and reassurance. Much like when we have babes listen to mum's heartbeats and we get soothed by the rhythmicity of it all. Linking in the energy of the hearts for that capacity to do that here and now, in much the same way it did for you when you were little, relying on your own connection to that rhythmicity now. And as we work with it in this way, it's also releasing a little layer of something something from the mother wounds around being like attacked, called out, perhaps even to the point of that nagging criticism for no real thing or no real reason. The topic at hand is just whatever's easiest to grab onto, but that behavior of feeling like attacked or criticized by that which is meant to provide nourishment, stability, safety, protection. And therein lies a bit of that overwhelm that's sort of trapped in the upper body. So as we release that overwhelm via the heart energy, unhooking that layer of the mother wounds, giving rise to cellular repair work, restoring the cells, in particular the myocardium, the muscle layer of the heart that does the contraction, to show it potentially another way of being, that it doesn't have to constantly be like fighting or bracing against attack or criticism. Hey! The mailman walked by. Forgive us. I know, it's very hard. And as we work with that release through that cellular repair and that myocardium and that muscle layer, also running circulation here of general heart chi, heart meridian chi, which also provides harmony and ease. That energy begins to radiate from the heart. The heart is associated with the planetary energy of the sun, and as it radiates through like the little sunshine beams, beginning to branch out to reach those areas of guilt and of shame now. And it's releasing this idea that you did something wrong and that's why mom or dad or the caregiver didn't meet your needs or didn't take care of you the way that you wanted to. And as that guilt and shame gets met in this way, also needing to run that reciprocal that we often seem to go to, I do go to it a fair amount, of the upper spine to lower spine reciprocal, inviting in a new antenna of consciousness as we clean out guilt, not just from the back body itself, but in the relationships between each of those vertebrae, where topmost pairs with bottommost and so on and so forth until they meet in the center again. And as they meet in the center, it lands in an area just behind the back of the heart, at the base of the heart. And there's a bundle of belief systems that begins to unwind around this idea of I have to protect myself against what nourishes me. And this idea of having to fight or pull away from the essence of what's meant to give rise to ease, of resources, of the capacity to appreciate and come alive, appreciating even more avenues of life. And with that, there's this Wei Qi expansion that begins through basically that upper body, everything above that diaphragm. And this Wei Qi, as it expands through all of its layers, whether that be physical, emotional, anything else, climactic, etc., opening up its capacity not just to protect, but also to communicate, to express, and to synthesize information. And for specifically the psychic Wei Qi, or as we call it these days in body talk, the EMF Wei Qi. Doing a little bit of repair work for it as it expands. And specifically in the form of, as it relates to the earlier conversation a little bit, that it's safe to notice and take in the things that are good, that are beautiful, that are working well, that are useful. Sometimes when we're in the role, for those of us who are a parent, a caregiver, or a healthcare provider, we often get in the mode of getting stuck at looking for problems. What's the issue? And as we begin to switch up that habit pattern, it affords us to actually see the opposite side and to cultivate even more of that easefulness in our own lives. As we remember the place that we were coming from originally, potentially, when we were in service of that parent, that caregiver role, or for those of us working in healing professions, which is a lot of us, potentially it ties in there as well. Or perhaps it even extends beyond any of those examples into multiple other facets of life. And as we address that, there's this little adhesion between the skull and the spine on the left side in that OA joint. And there's actually some different ligaments that are tied in here. It looks pretty deep. And it's tied into your head position when you were born. And regardless if your head was tilted this way or that way or any which way, the strain that got created on that left side where the skull meets the spine began to create a wound. And in that wound is the belief system that like these adults, they don't get it. They don't understand. They don't remember what it's like to be in that state of oneness, that state of completeness. And there's almost this essence of like complete dismay, like, oh, how do all of you people not know what this is actually really all about? Yeah. And even though it wasn't expressed through conscious wisdom, there was that same bit of belief that began to get challenged in a way through this separation, through this seeming separation. And as we work with this, releasing in essence the energy here of disappointment, as well as guilt and shame around the feeling like you were the one that created that, you were the one who created how it is all these adults were in your world, and that this is all your fault. And as we release that through that left skull and spine, and winding connective tissue, and bringing in the energy of the Chung Mo meridian, which helps to elevate or to lift, much like the spleen does. Beautiful. And then we're linking that into the sphenoid to coccyx reciprocal that connects that master bone, that god bone, lots of names for this bone, to the coccyx, to the tailbone. Connecting heaven while here on earth, which is our birthright, depending upon your worldview. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of attached a little bit to the worldviews that honor that ideology that heaven on earth is meant to be here for us. Sometimes we get a bit confused and it shows up in disguise in many different forms. I digress on that point. I won't belabor that any further. And as this all unwinds through that skull spine connection through the TMJ region of that jaw joint, we need to work with its reciprocal alignment compared to the sacroiliac joint in the back of the pelvis there. And as we rearrange TMJ and SIs, it works with the capacity to open up, to take in life, to say yes to living, to say yes to it's time to live. There's time, there's space to live. What do we want to come alive into? What do we want to live into? And running lymphatic circulation to really anything between the jaws and the hips that are in the way of that. Any little bits of sort of stagnant energy pockets here and there as we run lymphatic circulation through them, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Releasing anything that's no longer serving here in these ways. And as that lymph moves through here, we're gonna rinse and repeat a round of hydration through here too. In all those same areas. So the hydration can really get into all those spaces to bring in what it does best, water, joy, and releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here. And that's all linking now into the lower body now. We're heading into specifically the right side, the right leg, pelvis, knee, calf, foot. And there's that expression, you may have heard it expressed, you might have even expressed it, that shit rolls downhill, shit rolls downhill. And as if all like the stuff that doesn't work well, just like whoa, sort of sank and landed in the foot as it rolled all the way down the leg. And from here, there's an acupuncture point in the gallbladder meridian, just behind the ankle bone, that like sort of bigger one on the outside there, that is much like a garbage release point. And sometimes it can get overly cluttered and full. So we're just gonna help to drain that by running circulation of all the healing resources. So including that blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains all those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that help to lower that inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help out our body to heal our nervous system, our immune system, and really everything else. And then balancing here the flow, the circulation of yin and yang, as well as running one more round of hydration. And as that works, we're gonna also head to the sole of the foot on that right side, and so specifically kidney one point that hangs out roughly in the center. And in addition to connecting us to the earth, taking in the earth's energy, it also releases any free radicals, any inflammation. And specifically, we're releasing depression, sadness through here. And the beauty is that as that sadness, that depression reaches the earth below via that kidney one point, Mother Earth energy can begin to recycle that in a way that actually creates nourishment. So this shit that rolled downhill becomes fertilizer for what it is you're moving into in your future. Another way to reframe that, and versus standing in our shit, might be that as it rolls downhill, it actually gets to transform, alchemize into the seeds of what it is we're planting as we move forward. And put in another lingo, as the old dies away, there's room for the new to be created here. And with that, we're gonna run the permission statement that it's safe to die. It's safe to have these things die away. And as that softens, surrenders, if we will. And in a way that feels actually quite safe and easy, I see the entire gallbladder meridian become alive, and it begins to energetically celebrate its existence. It's like, ah, now that that old stuff is gone, I get to live, I get to be, I get to celebrate, I get to dance, I get to sing. I get to express all of me. And as that flows through this right side of you, through this lower body, bringing in the side body energy of stability. So this way, this gets to continue to unfold in a way that's sustainable, that serves you, that is you. And here we're also going to drain out any lymph nodes that are along that pathway from groin to ankle to foot. And as we flush out the lymph through here, linking it into the spleen as that anchor to allow that flush to be really complete. In a way that provides, much in the same sort of metaphor, nourishment. So, as the dirty old lymph fluid flows through to the spleen, it meets the elements of earth. And earth element is meant to create change in a way that provides more peace. And as it does so, providing nourishment in many ways, in many forms, in many realms. And here from the spleen to support that working even more effectively, we're gonna unhook the belief system here that I have to versus I get to. I have to versus I get to. Along with releasing judgments around what it is to allow the old to fade away. almost seeing it through the lens, or it had been almost seeing it through the lens of disgust. It's like, oh, this decaying, rotting thing, blech. And instead, offering it a bit of a reframe, offering it a connection, because rotting, decaying energy is actually that of grief, set of grief. So as we do this, we're also releasing any bits of grief that are ready to go from the spleen as we link in metal element that governs it through to earth elements. Beautiful. And as that settles in the spleen, I just hear the spleen say, for whatever reason, the words here are, I accept my role. I accept my role. And now the spleen feels very like held and seen as valuable, honorable, dignified in a way that's like seen as respectful or respectable, rather than often being potentially just like, it's the anchor of the limb. It's the anchor of all the crap that we don't want to deal with. Let's get it moving and get things flowing. Just recognizing the service that it's provided over the years, and it's like now like holding its head up high. And as we also honor its role in the realm of the lymph, also potentially bringing in and noticing all that it's done as a part of the immune system, which the lymph is a part of, yet the spleen might play even a more deeper role in other elements of other parts of your immune system. Which, no small thing, works with acceptance, rejection. And as we fine-tune the wisdom of the spleen itself in noticing what its role has been viewed as and what it could be viewed as, honorable, respectful, dignified, it affords it the same capacity to take that into how it relates to the immune system. And in turn, that rolls downhill in a good way. So that wisdom can now roll downhill through the varying components of our immune system, through our varying components of accepting what's working well and rejecting what doesn't necessarily need to be here or considered potentially in those ways. And with that, running one more hydration on that relationship, on that connection between the spleen and the entire immune system, between the spleen and its consciousnesses of acceptance, rejection. And then we're linking that all into the sense of tastes that coincides with this. Now that's linking into the occiput, back of skull and sacrum, back of pelvis, reciprocals, that also work with our bladder meridian. They're also centers that help to regulate our nervous system, which the bladder meridian is also associated with. And as we connect this reciprocal, that sort of dividing line of the diaphragm that was hanging on to all that sadness and depression begins to just drift away. It dissolves. It surrenders. And as it dissolves, as it surrenders, there is now flow between the upper body and the lower body in ways that might even be deeper and richer than just simply like the upper to lower body reciprocals. This is working with all the varying meridians, the chakra connection of the flow of energy that moves up and down. And with that, I begin to see in particular the yin chao mo meridian. Which partners with the conception vessel meridian. They're sort of a team in a way of speaking. I see. Even though this might be a not a very traditional take on it, them both connecting to that area just below the navel, where all those umbilical pieces are often associated with. I'm just hearing the permissions. I belong right here. And a second related permissions. I celebrate my existence. I celebrate my existence. And similarly, as to the heart radiating out like a sunshine. I'm seeing that energy radiate out through the navel. And as those sunshine rays radiate outwards, it actually meets up with the other sun energy from the heart. And as these two come together, there's that expression, it's a bit biblical. It goes, and I've mentioned it before, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I shall be found. And as we bring in the energy of the two sunshines, connecting into that which is eternal, whatever your name for that is, universe, love and light, source, God, Buddha, Allah, divine energy, whatever the word may be, as there's this sort of spark of divinity, just to use the last word I landed on. The spark of creation, the spark of universal energy. I see that as actually coming now from the diaphragm. What was once the division line is now not so much a separation, it's actually the place where things get to come together. Not in a way that needs to be like clung onto or held onto, but in a way where things get to form coherently. In a way that, well, you've heard the expression defrag, that feels kind of defragged. Everything gets reorganized so it can be utilized readily and easily. And this diaphragm, being the muscle of breath itself, connects to the lungs, to the breath, which is also thought to be a connection point between us and that which is eternal, almost like an umbilical cord. That's just not visible. And as it comes up to the lungs and the breath itself, running a cellular repair here and restoring these lungs back to their fullest potential of health. These lungs that I may have even like braced against life in some way, shape, or form, not so sure about what it was all about. Gets to lay down any old grief that's here and can also gently meet new grief if that's also here for you. And as it meets the grief that's here, our breath, much like the heartbeat, forms its own rhythm. And the breath is meant to, in a way, gently caress, gently rock. All that's here, grief or otherwise. And as this breath gently caresses and rocks your whole being, holding you, allowing for this connection, allowing for you to be with this life. Noticing those points where you may have maybe dismissed that value before. Maybe not have noticed it before. Maybe it's just sort of been like, yeah, that's happening, but I stubbed my toe and it really hurts. Or whatever the thing is that's distracting us. And as we work with this, connecting it into the base chakra. And then I see that moving sequentially upwards through all the chakras until it reaches the very crown. And anytime I see something like that happen, it usually means we're transcending something that's a pretty deep, rich pattern. Or potentially something that just feels really big in our lives, like maybe that grief energy that might be a bit newer. linking all into house number eight, house of death and rebirth and regeneration, of getting to come alive again and again and again. So even though we might get a little bit mixed up about what this life thing is all about, and we might end up, you know, closing off to it, getting a chance to do it again, even though we might have, you know, in theory, we could use the word I messed that up, giving ourselves permission to even close off from life, to mess it up in order to come back to it, into connection in a different way. And as we do that, running another cell repair, this time for conception vessel 1 point, which is on the perineum, that space between either vagina or testes and anus, closer to the vagina or testes side. And as we work with this point of the beginning, at the beginning of the beginning of all the beginnings, of the source of creation perhaps, there's a few centers we could give credit to that too, there's no doubt about that. But through this lens, conception vessel 1 point, I just see this pulsation, this vibration, rhythmically giving rise to you, to your life. And if there's any sort of adhesed tissue or contractions or muscle contractions that are habitually sort of trying to govern or control that in some way, shape, or form, linking those into the metal elements for surrender, to allow them to fade away, whatever is ready to go, so you can connect to the pure, simple essence of what it means to give rise to this life, to this body, to this mind, to this thing you call you. Linking that into all of the connections between the head and the spinal complex for all four of those reciprocals, many of which we've drawn on already. We're just working with the whole kit and caboodle now at the same time. And as we reorganize this energy between head, how it is we perceive, think, evaluate our world, and spine, how does we hold our bodies in this world? There is an intersection point between the two. An intersection point I'm also seeing as, much like I mentioned earlier, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I shall be found. That intersection, this point of union, also drawing on that same energy of that which is eternal, connecting us through this linking together of soma and psyche, of body and mind. And running the permissions, it's safe to be supported here. It's safe to be held here. And it's safe to be here in this connection of body and mind. It's safe to be here. It's safe to be here. And with that, I see a few waves of fear running from the crown down to the feet, down through kidney 1 point into the earth below. Linking that into house number 6, being in practical service to our bodies and reevaluating what that means and looks like and is. And giving yourself permission to set down any old, outdated ideas, thoughts that may not be serving you, no matter where they came from, even those ones that I come from, you know, those holy, sacred ideas, concepts, or even teachers that we really value. Setting that all aside so you get to understand it for yourself, through your senses, through your body, through your mind. Without going into the potential trauma response of I have to do that all on my own, there still gets to be support, just reevaluating what it means for you, all of those concepts. And as we offer this sixth house energy, almost like a defrag or a cleanup, a spring clean of sorts, letting again anything that's old die away to make room for the new to be here even more presently. There's a permission, and the words are simply, you are a gift. You are a gift. You are a gift. And what if this life, in all of its pains, in all of its challenges, in all of its sufferings, still carries within it, in some way, shape, or form, or howness, the energy of it being a gift? What if at times our presence, pain, down the road gets to serve as a blessing in some way? It just might be really disguised and hidden at first. I'm sinking into circulating consciousness of the thymus gland, which in part works with all the ways that we've stayed safe and protected and organized ourselves, all of our, well, one way of putting it would be our defensive patterns, which sometimes isn't the most respectful in my approach these days, terminology. And I've certainly changed that over the years, speaking of updating. Yeah, what if those ways that you needed to defend yourself needed to be there and were there for a really good reason, and they get to be appreciated as such? Once they get noticed, seen, heard, appreciated, recognized, acknowledged, maybe even validated, honored, respected for their roles that they played, they might begin to see that they have fulfilled their roles, their duties, and we can give them a heroic salute, a hero's parade. Thank you for your service. And allow them to rest and be with us in different ways. And then we're linking that all into the part of your brain that knows how to recognize and be with that which is simple. Which may mean that we need to turn our attention away from that which is complex. That which has all those different associations and meanings that we can, you know, gracefully pull from, or maybe we're just not so gracefully stumble around upon until we pull things together. And what if, just in this moment, we could honor that part of our brain and go, yeah, that work has been done. Wow. And also, there's this part of me, my thinking, my brain that can recognize that which is simple. And if that's too much to take in all at once, feel free to go back and forth between complexity and simplicity, just a few times. Or more, if you feel called to. But keeping even this process itself simple. What would it be like to take in simplicity even more? And what if, in the face of simplicity, it allows us to surrender those repetitive thoughts, those patterns, those cycles of thinking. Potentially even the what-ifs themselves get to be surrendered. What if you didn't have to figure anything else out? What if? And as you, if you are open to it, and you're finding yourself in this space and wanting to explore this a little bit more, notice what happens if you welcome simplicity with open arms, open hearts, and open soft bodies. And as you welcome that simplicity, releasing anything that's not that, just for a moment. And that heaviness, the weightiness of having to work or effort and prove and achieve begins to melt away off of, in particular, the back body, that low back, that lower body. And with it, that jealousy piece that I noticed more so at the very beginning of our time together today, that jealousy piece begins to fall away too. It's like, oh, if it's simple, I don't have to worry about what if other people have it easier or not. We just get to be with ourselves. Simplicity. Simple surrender. And as that melts away off of the back body, I actually see the large intestine itself just unwind. It's like, oh, I don't have to carry that. I don't have to march uphill with that anymore. I get to put this heaviness down. And it sets, as it sets down, like the backpack of heaviness, so it can carry on its travels with greater ease. I'm seeing a hiking metaphor in my brain, in case you're wondering how I'm tying in these words. It gets to carry on in its adventure, this large intestine, without the stressor of that heaviness. And as it carries on in its adventure, continually surrendering as the large intestine naturally does, connect with the action of dispersion, of releasing, of allowing, of surrendering. There gets to be even more space for new life, as this part is actually quite excited now to surrender, to relieve those heavy burdens that it's been carrying around. And as the large intestine works with that process, the rest of the body begins to benefit because it no longer has to try to release on its behalf. And that's linking yet again into the eighth house, house of death, rebirth, regeneration, also house of the kidneys, kidney meridian. And as we work with that connection into the kidneys, into the kidney meridian, working with its very simple role, I'm going to use TCM terminology to connect the, pardon me, to separate out the impure from that which is pure. Which is often the pattern that the kidneys naturally do, yet also can tie into a little bit more fear than needs to be there. And although we obviously wanted separating out the fluid, our urine, and its impurities, and allowing us to take in the purity of the water that then in turn hydrates our system, that part gets to stay just as it is. However, what if on the other realms, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, we could release even that judgment of that there has to be the separation from the pure, from the impure. And what if it's all meant to be the same? Held with the same level of understanding and awareness that even that which seems to be a challenge can be a blessing in disguise. Even that which seems to be impure gets to be pure. What if we can alchemize this? Metabolize this and digest this in a different way. And as we do so, allowing for the kidneys to settle and drop their efforting, much in the same way that the colon found some adventures by embracing its natural healthy role, so too does the kidney get to do so with the healthy role of fear itself, which is meant to do nothing more than give rise to practical action. However, if the kidneys are working overtime, releasing fear in the form of fight, flight, freeze, fawn, disorientation, or really anything else, it doesn't have the opportunity to do what it's meant to provide, simply. And as we essentially sort of defrag and rehab these roles of the colon and the kidney, both of them collectively releasing the judgment of disgust around being like a 3D spatial temporal human being. And the need to have to always seek to be more pure, more holy, more sacred, more like source, more like whatever the word is. That seeking may be the only thing in the way of our own understanding that we already are that. And then thinking now into the heart space. And as the heart drinks in these concepts in its ways, however it relates to them, unwinding through the varying connective tissue fibers, and specifically the different valves that separate the chambers of the heart, or separate the entrance and the exit itself into the heart, releasing the need for division to be so effortful, releasing the need for division to be present in anything other than its natural, healthy role. And in doing so, releasing the ways that you may have related to fear itself being something that keeps us separate. And as we release division in these different ways and different lenses, also releasing and dialing down the energy, the planetary energy of Mars. And bringing in Venus, that which brings in connection. Brings in harmony, brings in balance. And with that, I see even more layers of division begin to unwind and drop away through the heart space. What if I've never been separate at all? What if in the face of this love that this heart carries, I see what healthy connection is really all about in all of its forms? And we're linking that once again to my favorite reciprocal, so it's appear in this round of Buddhas and butterflies, that antenna of consciousness, the upper spine to lower spine. And then I see the spine just effortlessly radiating, much like again those sunshine rays, up, down, all around, creating a container for you. To hold you, to embrace you, to be with you in a way that doesn't even really, the words hold and embrace sort of indicate this like imposition of some sort, even on a subtle, very subtle level. Yeah, there's just this ease of contained you-ness. That the only other words that seem to be floating up for this are around being with. It's safe to be with. And as we tap this part in, invitation to breathe and receive however the body mind feels called to in this moment. And as we bring this in for a nice soft landing, I've got a song. And well, you know me, I actually have a couple I'm debating. Okay. And forgive me if I played this one before. I don't think I have. It's one of my favorites that's been calling to me. It's Hebrew actually. Ruha Elohim. Ruha Elohim. Which translates into the breath of God. The breath of that which is eternal, the breath of the universe, the breath of love and light, whatever the words are that work well for you. And it's a longer one, it's about 6 minutes. So just before I press play, for anyone who needs to step away, thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being you and being here. It's such a pleasure to get to share this all with you in these ways. Mwah. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And if you have 6 minutes and 41 seconds to hang out together, I'm gonna play this song. Thank you. Thank you all. We still even have a few of you hanging out here. I know a few people had to leave as we were, well, fairly over time on this one. So I'm gonna end the recording here and mwah, mwah, mwah to all of you beautiful beings. Bye for now. And if anyone has anything that they need one-on-one, just let me know.